You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Thursday. We're 2 days away from Arkansas's home football opener. They're going to play UAP. I'm sorry, Blake, we're going to have to start over. This UAPB, UAB thing's getting me. Sorry about that, Jared. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Happy Thursday. We're 2 days away from Arkansas's home football opener on Saturday against UAB over at Razorback Stadium. A 3:15 kickoff Saturday afternoon. Later in today's show, we're going to talk to Brandon Marcello. He's a college football reporter for 24/7 Sports about the Razorbacks and just some of the biggest storylines as we go into week three of the college football season. But first today, we're going to welcome Jared Schramm. Jared is a senior vice president of REV Entertainment. That's the official events partner of the Texas Rangers and Globe Life Field. Arkansas's baseball team's going back to Arlington in February of 2025 for 3 baseball games. And that schedule was announced last week. The Razorbacks are going to play Kansas State, TCU, and Michigan on the weekend of February 21st through the 23rd at Globe Life Field. Jared, we appreciate you being with us.
Of course. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I want you to tell the story first. That I've talked to you about this before, and I've talked to Dave Van Horn about this, that after Arkansas came down to Globe Life Field in 2021, you and Sean Decker came up to Fayetteville for an Arkansas game against Oklahoma. You sat down in Dave Van Horn's office and you said, "We'd like you to come to Arlington every year that you're willing."
Yeah, absolutely. And 21 was an incredible tournament. You know, it was our first tournament. And we booked that in, 2017, 2018, when we knew we were moving to the Globe Life Field. And we kind of caught lightning in a bottle. We knew that we were, working with some high quality programs. But the fact that all 6 teams were in the top 10 in the preseason rankings was really cool. We had over 52,000 fans come through the doors that weekend. So it was a really big weekend. And as you guys have seen and know very well, not many teams travel like the Hogs. It's pretty impressive. And, DFW is obviously a kind of a hotbed for Arkansas alum, but between, the alumni and DFW and the support from the Arkansas fans and making the trip to Arlington is always appreciated. And so, yeah, we went out to see those guys and sat down with them and just expressed our gratitude and, asked, what could we do better? What did we do well? All those things just to get their feedback and, their experience. Sounded like it was pretty great and they were willing to come back. And so we wanted to make sure that we locked them in long term and got them back annually.
Dave has said that he'll go down there whenever you invite him for as long as he's the coach at Arkansas. How long are they committed to come there, though? I mean, how many years out have they been scheduled?
Yeah, a few more years that I know of. College baseball and the scheduling is crazy. I mean, it's similar to football, right, where you're 5, 6, 7 years out. And so we're actually working on the 2031 and 2032 schedules.
Wow.
Right now. And so I know that we have Arkansas penciled in for most of those years. Most of them are locked in and committed to, and the other ones we're starting to kind of fill out and hope that they'll continue coming to Arlington. So,
I've covered a lot of these games down there. Last year, Arkansas played Oklahoma State, or last season, they had over 16,000 people in the ballpark. The year before that, they played TCU. They had over 20,000 in the ballpark for the game that night. And just to give people kind of a frame of reference, that was the largest attendance for a college baseball game that year outside of the College World Series. I tell people who haven't been there, if they ask me, "Hey, explain what this is like," I would say it's kind of like a football bowl game in February, but it's for college baseball. It's a really, really cool event that you guys have, and it's a really unique setting. And you're right, you really have caught lightning in a bottle. And I feel like what happens, Sean, Jared, is that people they come back, they tell their friends about it in Fayetteville, and then the next year there's a whole new crop of people who come down because they've heard people who have been there talk it up.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's, it's funny you say that is that's kind of our goal, is to make it feel like a bowl atmosphere. We want the players and the coaches to have a great time and a great experience, but we also want the fans and the people that are traveling to Arlington to have a great experience as well, so they continue to come. And so we do the fan zones and You know, we hire DJs and we do all the things that we can to make sure that everybody has an enjoyable time at the ballpark. Great atmosphere. Obviously, there's a lot of things around the ballpark now with the hotels and the live entertainment and Texas Live to keep people there and having a good time throughout the weekend. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We want to continue to make it better and continue to grow the crowd sizes annually.
So when this first started, it was an opening weekend thing. It was six teams would come in for the opening weekend, and they would play games against each other. Not everybody would play each other. And then that was pretty much it. I think you had some midweek games and things like that scheduled from, you know, local teams. But then last year you really expanded this out where now you've got three weekends basically of college baseball early in the season. You've still got your six-team event early in the year, and then you've got a couple of four-team events after that. Just kind of explain how this has grown.
To your point, yeah. Initially it was just weekend one. And we had a ton of success in weekend one in 2021. And so we kind of took a step back. You know, we were talking to a lot of teams that just they couldn't commit to that opening weekend for whatever reason. Other commitments, long-standing agreements with other teams for home and homes, a number of different things. But a lot of teams told us they really wanted to come to Arlington. They wanted to play in our building. So, you know, they would ask about a weekend two or weekend three opportunities. And so I wouldn't say it was born out of necessity, but there was a lot of feedback where teams were interested in coming. But that opening weekend was a challenge for them for whatever reason. And so that's where weekend two and weekend three came about. And so now, again, we're working on 2030, 2031 and beyond to lock in all three weekends. So we're committed to it and have really enjoyed it.
21 teams are coming to the ballpark this year, plus you've got the Big 12 tournament there. A lot of SEC teams. You've got Arkansas, you've got Texas, LSU's coming in, Oklahoma, Auburn, and you know the list just goes on and on. You can find tickets, by the way, for this at globelifefield.com/collegebaseball. You initially announced that Georgia would be there the weekend that Arkansas was coming, and then about a week or two later, it was announced that it wasn't going to be Georgia anymore. It was going to be Kansas State. Can you give us any insight into what happened there?
Yeah, there was just a scheduling conflict. And so we found a new date for them in the future. Kansas State was kind enough to jump in and fill that void. So it was unfortunate, but we look forward to having those guys down the road.
How competitive is it to get teams? Because Texas has kind of become a hotbed for these early season deals. We've seen Arkansas go to Houston a number of times and play in the College Classic at the Astros ballpark. We've seen Arkansas and Frisco. They still have that tournament. There's one in Round Rock that the Razorbacks were in a few years back. It would seem like there's probably a lot of competition to get quality teams early in the year.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is college baseball seems to get better every year and the teams get better. And so, I mean, there's a lot of teams out there. And, you know, we try our best to go out there and get teams from the ACC and the Big Ten, and as well as obviously the SEC and Big 12. To give us some variety. But yeah, there's a lot of tournaments. We do our best to get out in front of it and again, schedule these quality programs well in advance because they're getting solicited all the time by other tournaments and things like that. So we try our best to stay out in front of it and get the kind of the premier teams locked in well in advance.
How did the Rangers and Globe Life Field get interested in college baseball?
Well, going back to 2017, 2018, we sat, at the old ballpark talking about, the college baseball tournament and, is it something that we should commit to? And so we had some conversations internally and, I'm a baseball guy through and through. I grew up, my dad ran a couple minor league baseball teams. I played college baseball, had a short minor league stint with the Rangers. Sean Decker, who you mentioned as our president, was actually a professional umpire for a number of years. And so we love the sport, love baseball, love college baseball. And so for us, we don't have a whole lot of involvement with the Rangers. So we don't really get to work on the baseball side that often. And so mm-hmm. College baseball was our opportunity to do that. And we kind of jumped at the chance. And fortunately for us, it's been wildly successful and something that we're really passionate about.
I say all the time that I think college baseball right now is kind of in its golden era. It just continues to keep growing. The popularity keeps growing. Have you been surprised at all by the response that you've gotten?
Yes, I mean, yes. It, to your point, just the growth is just, I mean, it's crazy. And I tell this story all the time, but like, you know, when I was playing, if pitchers could throw 92, 93 miles an hour, like that was a pretty big deal. That was good. And now it seems like if you're not throwing 95, 96, you know, you're not at these programs. Like the quality of teams and players and just the athletes that these teams are fielding, it's incredible. And so it's really fun to get out there and just as a baseball fan, you know, watch these guys compete at the highest level. And so, you know, they keep doing that. The sport's going to continue to grow, and I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. And certainly we want to do our part to help grow the sport.
Again, you can find tickets for this at globelifefield.com/collegebaseball. Arkansas are going to play Kansas State on February 21st at 7 p.m., TCU on February 22nd at 6 p.m., and Michigan on February 23rd at 11 a.m. Jared, if people haven't been before, what's your sales pitch?
It is a fun time. It is a fun week. You mentioned it. I mean, it is similar to a bowl experience, and so it's not just the games. It's everything that goes into it. It's coming to Arlington, experiencing the food, the nightlife, the hotels, and quality baseball in what I would consider the best ballpark in the country.
If you haven't been to Arlington lately, it changes every time we go down there. It's growing rapidly. A lot of new things are being built there in and around the Rangers and the Cowboys stadiums. Jared, we appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Jared Schramm, the senior VP of REV Entertainment. Again, the Razorbacks going down there to play Kansas State, TCU, and Michigan in February. When we come back, we're going to replay an interview that we did with Brandon Marcello on Wednesday at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. We talked with Brandon about the Razorbacks, also talked with him about a number of topics going around college football. We'll be back in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsors.
LPGA Week in Northwest Arkansas returns September 23rd through the 29th for the 18th consecutive year. Watch former Razorbacks and 2024 Olympians Maria Fassi and Gabby Lopez compete against the world's best female golfers at the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship, presented by P&G at Pinnacle Country Club in Rogers. The NWA Championship is so much more than a golf tournament, with something for everyone to enjoy and activities for fans of all ages. Daily tickets are only $10, and kids 17 and under get in free with a ticketed adult. Get your tickets today at nwachampionship.com. At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
And we appreciate you being with us today. We're going to finish the show today playing most of our Q&A with Brandon Marcello at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club on Wednesday. Brandon is a national college football reporter for 24/7 Sports, someone I've known for a long time. Brandon and I go back about 20 years. In fact, Brandon was at WholeHogSports.com before I was hired here. I replaced Brandon whenever he left here to go cover Mississippi State football in 2010. Before we get to Brandon, we want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. That's your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. They're located in Uptown Rogers, and the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. And before we get to Brandon, we also want to tell you just about more coming up at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. Up next is next Wednesday, Jordan Weber, the Arkansas gymnastics coach, former gold medalist gymnast for Team USA. She'll be there noon at Home 2 Suites in Springdale. Again, that's September 18th. You can reserve your seat now at OzarksTix.com, OzarksTix.com. Jordan Weber next up at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. Hunter Yurecek will be there for our September 25th meeting. You can also buy tickets for that luncheon. Brandon and I, we spoke about a number of things when we were at the HI Sports Club on Wednesday, and it started with conversation about the Razorbacks game in Stillwater.
Now let's talk about Saturday over in Stillwater. What'd you think? Well, Bobby Petrino is living up to the two middle initials, MF. That guy, he's killing it. And but man, the turnovers, the mistakes, even the little things. I'm sure you guys saw it too. Talen Green trying to do a fake handoff to someone who's not there. Like, what are we doing? We're trying to kill the clock. We're motioning someone over when we're trying to kill the clock. We don't need to do that. The turnovers, obviously, but there's a lot of things they got to iron out. But it's those little things like that, that when you see that, you're going, well, no wonder we're turning the ball over a few times. No mm-hmm. wonder we're struggling. There's still a lot of things to iron out, but holy crap. Putting up nearly 700 yards on the road against a veteran team, this Razorback team is going to have a shot here down the stretch. Not to just make a bowl game, but put a scare in a few teams.
That's what we've talked about this week on our podcast, is that, you know, a lot of times when you lose a game like that, pessimism steps, or it sets in. And it kind of did last year when they lost to BYU in a similar manner.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel that this week, though. I feel like there's a lot of optimism about what the Razorbacks could do this year.
Absolutely, and I'm going to tell you, they're going to beat up UAB this week. I don't know if you know much about them with Trent Dilfer right now, but they struggled a lot last week against ULM, a ULM team that just got a new coach and had to start over. And by the way, beaten by the coach that UAB would not hire, Bryant Vincent. He was the mm-hmm. interim UAB coach, went to a bowl game with them, and they said, you know what, we need a splash here hire. Let's go get Trent Dilfer. And UAB is struggling right now, and Bryant Vincent in his first 2 weeks is killing it there.
We talked about that with David Crane this morning. He's the play-by-play guy for UAB. That's on our podcast today if you want to go listen to it. Also, we talked to Alex Mortensen yesterday. He's the offensive yeah. coordinator at UAB. He's coming
former
back
Razorback.
Here to town. That's right. Played with Casey. We talked about Casey. It was kind of interesting, Casey, with Alex. He played here at such a unique time that I don't think there's any other quarterback in Razorback history who's played with four multi-year starters. He played with Matt Jones. He played with Casey. He played with Ryan Mallett, and he played with Tyler Wilson. Just kind of fascinating. I was looking this up. He played with a quarterback who started a game at Arkansas every year between 2001 and 2012.
Wow. That is quite the – and this is before the transfer
this
portal.
This is before when you could stay
you
can in
play
college for
9
years.
There's a yeah. ninth-year football player out there, by the way, just to let you know.
Arkansas, you know, I've made this point this week that I feel like there's a difference between the program and the team. This year's team, last year's team, they're part of the same program. They are not the same team. And I think sometimes they get lumped together, and rightfully so. There are some carry, you know, there is some carryover. Obviously, coaches are the same. But – I don't know, when we talk about closing games, is that going to be an issue for this year's team the way it was for last year's team? It was an issue Saturday in Stillwater, but I'm interested to see if that's going to be an issue moving forward.
I don't see it, and the reason why I say that is because, listen, Arkansas had to drive down the field to really get back in that game after letting it go, kicking a field goal to force overtime. Bobby was drawing up the plays, getting them down the field. He wasn't being conservative. There's just a lot, I think, to really be excited about that offense. Defensively, I don't know if enough people are talking about that performance as well. I mean, Ollie Gordon was a Doak Walker Award winner last year, and they were limiting him to, what, like 48, 49 yards rushing,
mm-hmm.
very low totals. And the one thing that's really different about this team, we talk about schematically, Bobby's going to out-scheme anybody practically, and I'm not over-exaggerating, but that offensive line looks a lot different. And the run blocking just got – the one thing I would say that would change in that game, let's get a little bit more rotation at running back to help Jaquindon Jackson because of – you know, as we saw, he was cramping up throughout that game.
Well, and Pittman said this week he wishes he would have used more players.
There you go. I should be a head coach. There you go. Give me the $3 million.
They only used 17 players on defense on Saturday. They got to have a deeper rotation.
I sat
that.
Down and I saw the cover of Hogs Illustrated this week, and I told my wife, there's my guy, T-Will. Covered him at Auburn. That guy's a star, and I hope you guys know just how good of a defensive coordinator you've got on your staff right now.
What do you like about him?
The guy just connects well with players. He's a very underrated schemer. He's a guy that understands that he wants to run cover zero a lot, but he's also a guy that knows he's got to pick his spots. He's been around some really great coaches in his career. He's worked his way up, but I think more than anything, in this day and age, because of the portal – and everything that's changing with college football and just how you have to relate with players and get them to stay and have retention and know where you got to put them, T-Will's that type of coach for you that can get that all done.
We had Phil Still on our podcast 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, and he was talking about Oklahoma State. And he said that they were the number one team in terms of experience.
Oh, yeah.
And what he meant by that was playing together. They're not just older players. you know, Arkansas's got older players, but they got 55 new players on the roster. These guys have been together for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years in some cases.
Oldest offensive line in college football history, by the way.
24 years old.
Yeah, average. Crazy.
It felt like that played a factor Saturday, that you could tell those guys had been in that type of situation together. It's the fifth straight game that they've won where they've it's been a one-possession game. It just felt like that played a pretty big factor.
And I think you're seeing that more in college football. These veteran teams, not just older teams with older players, but the ones that have been together for a few years, those are the ones that are looks the best in the fourth quarter, the ones that are just winning conferences or contending. And then make no mistake, that's the reason why Utah right now is in the top 10. You got a seventh-year mm-hmm. quarterback, much like Oklahoma State does. You have a sixth or fifth-year tight end who's pretty much their best receiver, a veteran offensive line, a great defensive line, veteran group. And that's why Utah's there. I'm not so sure Utah's the type of team. In fact, we got a hint of that this week. They were playing Baylor in a weird non-conference Big 12 game.
It was non-conference?
Non-conference.
I didn't realize
because
that.
I don't want to get into it. They previously scheduled before realignment. And anyway, so the quarterback went down. And when he went down, the offense was just a mess after halftime. Didn't score at all. They held on to win 23-12. So veteran experience at some key spots. That can win you championships in this day and age.
Does it feel like Mike Gundy is now kind of he's like the Mike Leach now that Mike Leach isn't with us anymore in college football?
I would say this. Take it either way you want, but Dabo Swinney is the Mike Gundy of the East Coast, and Mike Gundy is the Dabo Swinney of the Midwest. They're both very similar. They're very staunch in their beliefs. You know, you've heard of Mike Gundy these last couple of weeks saying, I don't want to talk about money to players and all this stuff. I was talking to Gundy back in May, and he said, you know, I've hired pretty much an NFL front office, and I've told these guys, I don't want any players coming in here going, hey, I want 10K more or whatever. You just go, you guys handle that. I ain't dealing with it, especially when we get to preseason camp. And he hit on that a little bit more this week. In fact, they lost a linebacker against Arkansas, their replacement's a former D2 player from Gannon University. And he said, well, that should tell you what our NIL situation's like.
That's also where their defensive coordinator came from.
Right, D2, and he's a good defensive coordinator. But I think a lot of these coaches, they say they're stuck in their ways, but that's just how they are. Dabo's the same way with the portal, which I could talk about all day, the mistakes he's making right now.
Christina could talk about that, too. She covered Dabo last year. I feel like Gundy does a really good job of going out and finding coordinators that, you know, they're kind of – hidden under, he went and found
and Jim Knowles, who's now at Ohio State and has turned that defense around the last 2 years.
And I mean, he's one of the hot names in coaching. So Chip was mentioning that we had written a story off of what Gundy said about Talon Green playing like Lamar Jackson. Have you seen where he's doing his coaches show from this year?
Yes, a retirement home, right?
That's right, in Stillwater.
I think it's great. That's why I just, he's a different guy. And, you know, it's you go into these restaurants where they do these coaches shows sometimes, and you just hear the clanking and everything. I think it's pretty cool. They want to do something, and gives them something to do. It's pretty cool.
You might hear bingo in the background of a Mike Gundy coaches show. Let's talk about some of the national stuff. You were in Boulder 2 weeks ago for Colorado North Dakota State. Deion Sanders obviously is love him or hate him. You talk about him, right? And tell me about what it was like being around his program. And just being there on a game day, because it's a very unique game day setting from what you've said.
Yeah, it's one of the tightest sidelines in college football, not because it's a small sideline like Oklahoma State's was this week, but because there's so many people on the sideline. There's celebrities everywhere. I mean, Terrell Owens is standing there, and everybody's just ignoring him because everybody's focused on Deion, his kids, and the team. And then Bill Goldberg, the wrestler, was there just hanging out in the end zone, just watching field goal kickers and everything. I went and talked to him for a little bit. Turns out his son's a middle linebacker who walked on there a few months ago. But everybody that knows Deion that's there supporting him, including Bill Goldberg, they talk like him and from the sense of the confidence. I mean, Bill Goldberg's like, you know, they want to win every game this year, and they feel really good. They're going to be so much better than last year. Then the game kicked off, and you went, oh, it's more of the same. Defensive line struggling. The offensive line's really struggling. And then Deion goes out there and says, you know, offensive line wasn't really a problem. We're okay. We got to do what we do. We did what we had to do to win. And then they played Nebraska, and we saw just how bad they've looked right now going into year two.
Did Goldberg play with him for the Falcons?
Yes, they were teammates.
They were teammates there. I thought that might be true. It feels to me like Deion, I heard somebody say this the other day. This is not an original line for me. But it's like he's living out every Pee Wee coach's dream by coaching his kids for as long as he possibly can. You know, he coached him in high school down in the Dallas area. Now he's coached. He coached him at Jackson State. Now he's coaching him at Colorado. The question is, with him, do you feel like he's in it for the long haul in college football, or do you feel like once his sons, their eligibility expire, they go pro, that he's going to bolt?
I think unless he gets some just absolute star maker players in this next recruiting class or portal class, he'll probably call it a day and walk off into the Dion sunset with his gold-plated glasses. I think, listen, even just the way he talks, he talks mostly about his son, Travis, his sons, Travis Hunter, and his star guys, and no one really else. And that doesn't set well in the locker room sometimes. And you know, he wants to win. And if he doesn't win with this group this year, I don't see why he would probably want to stick around when he's not coaching his kids anymore.
There was a story this week that Colorado's band is not allowed to play the fight song until after Dion's son's rap song plays for, you know, a few seconds. It just seems to me like Colorado, are they interested in winning, or are they interested in just all the peripheral?
Yeah, you know, when I went to Colorado, that's the whole story I worked on was, what is this for? What are we doing here? Business is up in the city of Boulder. School applications are up. It's great for the community and the university. They're getting all this attention. It's very similar to the attention Alabama was getting when Nick Saban was there. Very similar growth in college applications and business growth and everything. But to keep that sustainable, you can't just keep filming a reality show. You got to start winning college football games, right? And even the business owners, when I was talking to them in the stories, like, we got to start winning some games to keep this going and keep this going, because otherwise it'll just go back to the old days the last couple of years and no one's coming to town anymore.
We hope you're enjoying our conversation with Brandon Marcello of 24/7 Sports. We'll have more with him in just a moment, but first another word from our sponsors.
Taste, sip, sample, and discover the very best restaurants and chefs Northwest Arkansas has to offer at the Bite Experience at the LPGA, a unique culinary experience on site at the Northwest Arkansas Championship. Tickets are available Friday, September 27th through Sunday, September 29th, offering access to the best golf viewing and food and beverage samples from over 30 local restaurants. You don't want to miss this. Tickets are available for $45 a day. Get yours before they sell out at BiteNWA.com. At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Welcome back. We'll get back to Brandon Marcello at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club in just a moment. But first, we want to tell you about our friends up at Bentonville Glass. They're committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. Come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. You'll hear Brandon Marcello talk at the sports club about Travis Williams, and he's on the cover of our latest Hogs Illustrated. You can see it right there. These just hit the newsstands this week. Great profile cover story on Travis Williams that was written by Ethan Westerman. And we can tell you that you can stay on top of all Razorback sports with a digital subscription to the Hogs Illustrated app. It gives you the most complete Razorback coverage in one location. One subscription will give you 20 annual copies of Hogs Illustrated magazine, including the basketball preview that's coming up here in about a month, plus complete access to all of our website at wholehogsports.com. Monthly subscriptions begin at $17. You can join now at hogsillustrated.com/subscribe or call 479-684-5509. We're going to go back now to our conversation with Brandon Marcello at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club as he talks about some of the really interesting things going on in college football. One of the other big stories in college football right now is what's going to happen with Florida and Billy Napier. It feels like any given Sunday it could be the day that they make a change at head coach. They play A&M on Saturday. Yeah. A&M, I don't know how to feel about them because they lose to Notre Dame, and then Notre Dame doesn't look real good the next week. So it feels like maybe he can win this weekend because it's in Gainesville. But what do you make of that situation there with him? And why has Florida had so much trouble finding a coach who can stick?
That's a great question. And I think Scott Strickland would love to know the answer to that, the AD there. You know, A&M's lost 10 straight road games going into the swamp. I've got Florida winning that game. But the thing that frustrates me about Billy Napier's is that going into this week, they put their freshman quarterback in last week, and he was stellar, broke freshman record there, threw 456 yards, I think, a few touchdowns. And Graham Mertz, who's a former Wisconsin quarterback, hasn't quite been electric but serviceable, was in concussion protocol last week. And now Billy Napier even said today, I saw right before I got here, that his plan is to play both quarterbacks in that game. And I just, in that offense and what they were doing, DJ Lagway looked like, if you're going to bet your future on anything right now, go with the guy who's putting up more yardage and gives you the best chance to be more explosive. And you're just playing with fire there by trying to play two quarterbacks against A&M.
There's an old saying, if you've got two quarterbacks, you have how none. Many? You have no quarterbacks. And so I think about that with Florida. Best teams nationally. Georgia, obviously, is right there. I would think Texas is after what they did on Saturday beating Michigan. We know what the AP poll looks like, but, I mean, is there a team out there you think people are sleeping on?
Tennessee. And maybe not a lot of people are sleeping on them right now. They're the type of team, the way they're built right now, I think that they're just going to absolutely break people in the third quarter. You saw it this week against NC State. NC State's got a really darn good defense, and they did whatever they wanted against them. And, by the way, their quarterback for Tennessee, Nico Iamaleava, threw two interceptions in that game, didn't play his best game, and they scored 51 points still against a good defense. The thing for Tennessee this year is that defensive line might be one of the best in the country, and that is scary. They look like some of the old, like, Steve Spurrier-type teams that just get up big on someone and just make you quit. They're going to wake up a lot of SEC teams this year. In fact, maybe so here in 2 weeks when they go to OU for Oklahoma's SEC opener against their former national championship-winning quarterback, Josh Heupel, is now the head coach at Tennessee. Some bad blood there, by the way, too. That's going to be a great matchup to watch. And if Tennessee gets up, we were talking about this earlier, Matt. I'm not so sure Josh Heupel takes his foot off the gas.
No, he won't let up. He was a coordinator at Oklahoma, if you don't know the story, and he got run out of town and ended up at Missouri, then at UCF, and now he's at Tennessee. And you're going to be at that game, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's my game of the week that week. I can't wait to see it.
SEC, they're 5-6 right now against other Power Four conferences. One of those wins is Oklahoma over Houston, as weird as that sounds, and it wasn't very pretty the other night. I think they've got the two best wins of the year. You know, I thought Georgia over Clemson was real impressive. I thought Texas over Michigan was impressive. You might say the best three because Tennessee and what they did to NC State. But there's a perception that the league is down this year based on the first 2 weeks. What do you think? Because I've heard a few times where people say this, and then you look up and there's two teams out of four in the national championship playoff.
Even after week one, we were getting questions like in our work Slack chat room about, like, is the SEC down? I mean, LSU just lost USC. It's like, no, actually, I feel better about LSU now after the USC game because they seem like they have the defense for the first time since last year. They're really bad. I don't think the SEC's down. It's just very, very top-heavy. Mm. They've got six of the top seven teams, I believe, in the AP poll right now. That's never been done in history. Of course, realignment's expanded the conference, but it's never been done. And the other thing is there's going to be some teams that fall in the SEC. They're in that top nine, and maybe a Mizzou, maybe an Ole Miss. They have yet to really play anybody. But it's the SEC is still very strong. I would argue, though, from top to bottom, maybe the Big Ten's a little bit better than the SEC right now. But when it comes to just a gathering of like four or five teams at the top, the SEC's got it.
What do you think about SEC versus FCS games? Because the SEC,
get rid of them.
It's 59-5 average score this year.
Yeah, get rid of them. It's a waste of time. And because of the transfer portal in this era, talent gap's even wider than it's ever been. And, you know, I know teams just want a warm-up or a scrimmage game, but with college football changing as much as we want, if we want to help the FCS teams and help them with, you know, big paydays and checks and everything, let's get to a point where in the spring, instead of doing inter-squad scrimmages, you invite an in-state FCS team to do some practice sessions with you, much like the NFL does when they do some of their workouts. They bring in another team for a couple days and they practice against each other. Let's do that. That's how you can help the FCS teams and make college football a little bit more competitive.
Because I felt like Arkansas playing UAPB in week one did not help Arkansas in any way whatsoever be prepared to play four quarters and then some against a good team.
I agree. And you look across the SEC, they like you said, those scores were bad. And we're about to see, like, for a team like Mizzou, they played two really bad teams, including a bad FCS team to open the season. And now they're about to get a Boston College team that's in the top 25 that
that's
can run the ball.
Pick this week.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a that's a team that can run the ball. And Thomas Castellanos, their quarterback, he rushed for, I think, almost 1,200 yards last year. That's a very interesting game this week in Columbia.
And I know Florida State's not what we thought they were going to be this year, but Boston College has already been on the road this year and won a game. So that's
and controlled it.
Yeah, I think they could win that. Let's talk about Arkansas's next couple opponents after UAB, because they go to Auburn. I know you still talk to people there quite a bit. And then they play Texas A&M. These do feel like winnable games, maybe more so than they did 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Especially Auburn. You know, their offensive line I thought was going to be so much better this year. Their run blocking is good. Pass protection is just really not there yet. And Peyton Thorne is an average quarterback. At Michigan State, he put up some good numbers for 1 year, but he had a Heisman finalist at running back and two really, really good receivers and a pretty good offensive line. He doesn't have that offensive line at Auburn. They've upgraded the skill positions, but the quarterback's bad. He threw four picks against Cal. Cal's a well-coached team. Justin Wilcox, who I think is at some point going to be have a bigger Power 5 job, but he just schemes very well, gets those guys to play. But that Auburn game's the most winnable one out of those two, I think.
Wilcox kind of like a hidden defensive gem, I feel like. You know, one of the big stories right now is that if you have DirecTV or UVerse or DirecTV Stream, you can't watch ESPN. And it's obviously a big story because of the dispute that's going on between DirecTV and Disney. But the conference commissioners, I wonder, how do they feel about this? Because they're kind of in a precarious position where they don't want to come out and say anything negative about, you know, the company that they've got the big multi-million dollar rights with. But it's something that's really affecting their fan bases and their ability to watch these games.
It's quite amazing because I almost every 2 days I've been getting PR releases from both sides of the argument going, you know, and just the language in it. It sounds like
they're not anywhere near. They're not anywhere near an agreement.
No, and it's like, you know, it's like, would you like to it's like, Brandon, would you like to report on the how the SEC, the ESPN, and all this are just hurting fans? You're like, oh, my gosh, I'm not getting involved in your money dispute. But, that's the thing. These commissioners are, you know, they're pretty much just TV executives now. They can't say anything against ESPN because, you know, they're in bed with them.
I did find it interesting before the games on Saturday, all of the different SEC teams basically put out these boilerplate notes of, you know, here's what's happening between DirecTV and you can't watch the game on ESPN or SEC Network. And here are the other streaming services, the other cable services that you can use to watch the game. So you know where they stand. And before we get out of here, Brandon, you mentioned you drove a car down to Starkville with the duct tape on it. I know more of that story. You didn't have an air conditioner.
Oh, yeah.
And you get there. I think it's a great story. Just tell people about that interview.
Yeah, so I got that interview, and I was so excited. I put a suit on, and I got a JCPenney for like $80. And I got my Chevy Blazer, middle summer, late August, to go interview. I drove to Jackson to the Clarion Ledger offices. Duct tape door, no air conditioner, and I'm so excited and so stupid. You know, it's like an 8-hour drive, 9-hour drive. I just wore the suit the entire time, including the jacket. Like, take the jacket off, dummy. So, anyway, I got there and had to do the interview as soon as I got there, too. So, it was something. Mm. But, hey, I got hired. That's all that matters.
Hey, you've done a great job. I can tell you from people who've known you for a long time, we're really proud of everything you've done, and we appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate everybody. Thank you for this opportunity.
Right, Brandon Marcello, everybody. Good job. Hey, we appreciate you being here today, and we appreciate Jared Schramm and Brandon Marcello for their time and their insight and their expertise. We'll be back with one more podcast this week. It'll be Friday with Aaron Murray, the former Georgia quarterback. He's going to be calling Arkansas's game against UAB on Saturday on SEC Network. Excited to talk to Aaron about what he sees from Arkansas, what he saw in Stillwater, what he thinks about this weekend's game. Ethan Westerman will also be in studio on Friday, and we think we'll have an Arkansas baseball schedule to discuss whenever Friday's show rolls around. Can't wait to share it with you. Until then, hope you'll visit us online at wholehogsports.com, and we'll see you Friday. Have a great day, everyone.